In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you. I'm Father Ed Broom, Oblate of the Virgin Mary, and your friend in our Perseverance family that we meet every day to get to know God better and better by our friendly conversation. And we like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us, especially in this month of May, because the month of May is the month of Mary. Mary is the mother of God. Mary is the mother of the church. And Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Mary is the mother of God, the mother of the church, and she's the mother of each and every one of us. So, let's turn to Mary also, who's known as our life, our sweetness, and our hope, and beg Mary to pray for us and to pray with us as we enter into our family conversation today. Now let's pray the prayer, that prayer that Mary loves most, and that prayer is, of course, the Hail Mary. Together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I would like to invite to be with us our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is our spiritual director. And the Holy Spirit has, like Mary, many, many wonderful titles. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as our Counselor. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Consoler. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Interior Master. St. Paul reminds us in his letter to the Romans, he says that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so that we can say Abba. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. Let us invite the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us a lot of light in our intellect, and to pour His divine love into our hearts, that our hearts would burn with love for Him. As we pray our classical prayer to the Holy Spirit, and that prayer is, Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, never shall be. World without end. Amen. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. So we welcome you to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and after praying with you, I promise to pray for you. When I celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass today, this evening, I'd like to place all of you on the altar. Because by far the greatest prayer in the whole world is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. There's no prayer that's greater than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. It's the prayer of God par excellence. The prayer of God par excellence. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So I'd like to place you all on the altar. So the first prayer will be for all of us that we would be open to the Holy Spirit in our lives. That our sanctification depends upon being open to God and His Holy Spirit in our lives. Perhaps we can pray as such, come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My next intention, I'd like to pray for our family. For the conversion of our families. Next, I would like to pray for our sanctification. And finally, for our eternal salvation. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? My last intention will be I'd like to pray in a very special way for those who will be dying. Those who will be dying this very day. Especially those who are not well prepared. The most important moment in their lives is the moment that we die. And how we die will determine our eternal destiny, either salvation or condemnation. So, we're in the month of May. So I'm trying to give you a brief reflection on Mary every day in the month of May. St. John Bosco, when he formed the oratory with the boys in Turin in the 1800s, St. John Bosco tried to instill in his boys a great love for Mary under the title Our Lady Help of Christians. And he proposed to the boys to offer to Mary some special gift every day in May. So today I'd like to recount a Marian moment of grace in the life of a saintly man. In my studio, as well as my confessional, I have a big portrait of Pope St. John Paul II. And he's embracing an older man. This was shortly after John Paul II was elected Pope. He's embracing an older man who's dressed in black and red, and he's a cardinal. He was the primate of Poland when John Paul II was there. He was the head of the Polish church. His name is Stefan Wyszyński. And he was beatified about 2 months ago. Blessed Stefan Wyszyński. I'd like to tell you a Marian moment in his life. Both John Paul II and Cardinal Stefan Wyszyński lived in a very tempestuous time of history in Poland, which they were attacked by the Germans and then attacked by the Russians. In the life of Wyszyński, he was arrested by the communists. And he was taken to have home arrest. Imagine how he must have felt. He experienced great desolation because basically he was going to be imprisoned in one way or another. He was walking up the stairs and he saw on the wall, he saw a beautiful image of Mary. And that gave him great peace and trust in God. So my Marian reflection today is the following. That we should have in our homes, in our workplace, in our cars, in our rooms, we should have attractive images of Mary. You notice when you come to be with me in my studio here in the background, you can see this beautiful image of Our Lady Guadalupe. The Filipinos have a special devotion to Our Lady of Perpetual Help. There's a beautiful image of the Our Lady of Fatima. Then there's another one of Our Lady of Lourdes, and once Saint Bernadette was asked that this image of Our Lady of Lourdes be painted. After this beautiful image was painted, Bernadette said she's much more beautiful than that. And then more than once I've presented to you a beautiful image that I like, and this is the image of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The Immaculate Heart of Mary. So having these images, these paintings, these icons close to us can help us to lift up our minds to God. So there we have our Marian reflection today. So the gospel today, I'd like to speak briefly about that, then go into the first reading. Is that Jesus in the gospel says that he will not leave us as orphans. Last week we spoke about the prevalent phenomena of being lonely, of loneliness. We had a reflection on that last week. But in a very real sense, my friends, if we are baptized, and most of you are, if we're baptized, even more so if we are confirmed, then we have the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity within our souls. We have the Holy Spirit within us. That's right. Through baptism, my friends, not only does that wash away original sin, but it introduces us to a very intimate relationship with three special persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We become sons and daughters of God. We become brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ. Then we become intimate friends with the Holy Spirit. Those words should be encouragement to us when we're going through moments of desolation and loneliness. So my friends in the Perseverance family, we are going through this wonderful book, which is the Acts of the Apostles, on Sunday as well as last night. I'm going through the Acts of the Apostles, and yesterday as well as Sunday I spent a good hour explaining to our people who is the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Acts of the Apostles is sometimes known as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. So, we've arrived, my friends, at chapter 16. Yesterday was a very charming, consoling passage where St. Paul arrives at Philippi. It's a Sabbath, and he goes to the river with the intention of resting and praying a little bit. But some of the women in the town follow him, among which is Lydia. And what happens is Paul speaks to Lydia and the women about Jesus Christ. Lydia listens and God opens up her heart. Then Lydia is baptized, as well as her whole household. Then Lydia invites Paul and his companion into her home. What a consoling passage that is. Well, today we go to a very different passage in the Acts of the Apostles. And it turns out that as a result of his preaching, that Paul is going to suffer persecution. Now, I'd like to make a comment on this for all of us. There are 8 Beatitudes. One occasion, Father John Lyons, who was with us for several years, said, if you live out the first 7 Beatitudes, your recompense is the 8th, which means persecution. So you should not be surprised. You should not be surprised if you undergo some type of persecution. Rather, sooner or later you will undergo persecution. Sooner or later. So that's par for the course, if you're following Christ. Often the persecution comes not in a foreign country, but often the persecution comes in your own home, among your own family members. You end up by doing the exercises. You try to be faithful to your holy hour. Many of you have an attraction to go to Mass, even on a daily basis. You apply yourself to spiritual reading. You no longer want to be looking at dumb shows on TV. And your family members are not on the same page. So you start to receive persecution from your family members. Which they maybe mock you, they make fun of you, they call you certain names, and it's very painful. Very painful. Bev is saying so much during my coming into the church. If we want to shake off our pagan lifestyle, and others are clinging to their pagan lifestyles, it's often a source of persecution, but rejoice, because the kingdom of God is yours, as Jesus Christ says. So what happens is, we see in the reading today, what has happened to Anne, and Bev, and Mary Jo. I think all of you, most of you have experienced this in one way or another. But rejoice, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. Always have before your eyes that heaven is prepared for you. Jesus says, I'm going now to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you also may be. In my Father's home, there are many mansions. You have a mansion prepared for you in heaven. So rejoice, be patient, and beg for the gift of perseverance. So what you went through, St. Paul is going to be going through persecution time and time again. So what happens is, not only is someone going to be uttering a sarcastic remark at Paul, but rather, the crowd in Philippi attack Paul. And Paul's traveling companion is Silas. So the magistrates of that town, they ordered Paul and Silas to be stripped. And then they were beaten with rods. But they're beaten with rods. Many of us have not been beaten with physical rods, but with verbal rods. As I said, sarcasm, put down remarks, disparaging remarks, the shaking of the head, the rolling of the eyes. We all know that. So they stripped Paul and Silas, and they're beaten with rods. And it says many times. After that, they were thrown in prison. It'd be an interesting study. And I've never read a book on this, but it'd be an interesting study to see how many saints, starting with our Lord Himself, how many saints were thrown in jail or prison for the sake of the kingdom? Can you name any? Well, we start with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was thrown in prison that Holy Thursday night when He was crowned with thorns. And even before that, John the Baptist was thrown in prison. We have Joseph in the Old Testament thrown in prison. We have, as Anne has pointed out, Saint Peter was thrown in prison. We have many of the early Christian martyrs, they were thrown in prison. We have Saint Thomas More that was thrown in prison. We have also the Vietnamese bishop Xavier Van Thanh was thrown in prison for many years. Sophie's point out St. Paul was thrown in prison, that's right. We even have, you remember, the children of Fatima. The children of Fatima, St. Jacinta and Francisco and Lucia, they were incarcerated. At least the magistrates tried to convince them to admit that they were just making up the apparitions of Our Lady. Bishop Vaughan of the United States was thrown in prison because of abortion. So it would be an interesting book. Be an interesting book, wouldn't it? See all the through the course of history, how many followers of Jesus Christ have been thrown in prison for the sake of the kingdom? Many of the followers of Christ, because of their views, they were exiled and thrown in prison also. That's right, Bev. Thank you. Saint Jose Luis Sanchez del Rio. I forgot about him. He was also thrown in prison. What about Saint Maximilian Kolbe? That's one of the most famous ones. St. Maximilian Kolbe was thrown in prison. He was thrown in the bunker, and he was actually starved to death. St. Agnes, Agatha and Lucia, before being martyred, they were thrown in prison. It's interesting we talk about this. St. John the Baptist was thrown in prison because he denounced the adulterous, incestuous relationship of King Herod. But who was the real... Who was the one that was really in chains? It was King Herod, because of his own sin was a chain that bound him. So, my friends, blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So, the jailer was actually instructed to guard these prisoners securely. So they were put in the innermost cell and they were chained with their feet to a stake. So it couldn't be worse than that. Now, it's very interesting that God can do everything. God can intervene in the most surprising ways. God can do anything. So let's try to form an Ignatian contemplation. You know, try to imagine this scene. I think it's a very graphic, very interesting scene. So, Paul and Silas are placed in this prison in Philippi. They end up in the inner cell. They're chained. And they're even chained to a stake. So they can't be more securely incarcerated than this. So it's now about midnight. Now what Paul and Silas are doing right now, the next verse, I find to be fascinating. You'd think that they would be groaning and moaning in bewailing their fate, that they were beaten so much and they were bruised and possibly bloody because of they're beaten by rods so many times. What were they doing? It was about midnight and they were praying. They're praying and singing hymns to God. Very interesting. You probably think that that would be the last thing you'd be thinking about if you're beat to a pulp and you're suffering these wounds. But they're putting into practice what Jesus said is necessary to pray at all times without giving up hope. So when we find ourselves in the most desperate conditions, that's when we should be praying all the more. So try to imagine Paul and Silas at midnight praying and singing hymns to God. Now, what's interesting is Paul and Silas, they're not alone in that prison. It says that the other prisoners were listening So Paul and Silas were giving good example. In a certain sense, Paul and Silas were preaching by their praying and by their singing. Now, when that's happening, what happens? Here we see the divine intervention. Here we see the divine intervention. How God can intervene in whatever way He wants. So God is going to send a severe earthquake that the foundations of the very jail shook. Let's stop and think about earthquake. About an earthquake. I am not a native Californian, as many of you are. But I've been living in California many years. I don't think I was here more than a couple of months. You California, you probably remember better than me. But I think it was in 1994, the famous Northridge earthquake. Do you remember that? Some of you are California. Remember the Northridge earthquake? And I had never really experienced an earthquake before. I was living in Europe and then living on the East Coast. And I don't remember. Maybe there was a small earthquake, but I don't remember anything really big. But that earthquake, I remember it was about 4:30 in the morning. And I just remember, it's almost as if I was sleeping on a waterbed and someone was jumping up and down on the waterbed for about 2 minutes. I know about your reaction, and certain things fell from the wall in our little house, no severe damage. And I think it was about 4:30, 1 in the morning. And I think that the night before I heard a lot of confessions, and I thought, like the Curie of Ars, that the devil was angry at me. That's what I was thinking. So the devil was shaking my bed like it happened in the life of the Curie of Ars. But let me ask you a question, if I can apply this to our lives. Apply this to our lives. Has God ever sent earthquakes in your life? Apply this to your life. Has God ever sent earthquakes to your life? I think we'd all say yes. In a certain sense, this pandemic that we suffered a good 3 years was kind of like a world earthquake in a certain sense. Not that you have to mention it specifically online, but I think we've all had earthquakes. It might be some loss of a loved one. It might be some physical ailment. Might be an operation. It might be an economic setback. Might be a failure at work. It might be a false accusation. what might be a calumny, might be a loss of a job, might be the loss of a loved one, or maybe someone in your family drifting away, might be a separation. These are what we call, these are called moral or spiritual earthquakes that God can send in our lives. Now, God allows evil to bring good out of evil. Never forget that. If God allows evil, he'll bring good out of it. And we'll see what's going to happen in the life of Christ. So you might even rewind the film of your lives and see when God has sent earthquakes, these severe earthquakes in your lives, when it was happening, you were maybe startled or even petrified with fear. But God allows evil to bring greater good out of evil. So as a result of this, the doors, going back to St. Paul, the doors flew open, the chains of all were pulled loose. The chains were pulled loose. We can talk a lot about that. Isn't sin a type of slavery? What do you think? Isn't sin a type of slavery? Aren't many people today chained by their own vices and their sins? How about alcoholism? How about pornography? How about drug addiction? How about the casino? All of these are chains that are binding us. And sometimes God has to send strong earthquakes to wake us up so as to break our chains. Hopefully you understand my moral, spiritual interpretation of the earthquake. God can break these chains, and as Mary Jo says, we go to confession, and by going to confession, we're able to break these chains. Now, let's try to enter the scene. Now, this jailer was most likely a... could have been a Roman jailer. He's aware that the doors have flung open and the chains have fallen from the prisoners, and he's aware that the prisoners will all seek their freedom. And perhaps the jailer is aware of the fact that if this happens, if the prisoners get out, then the authorities will chastise him, possibly even put him to death. So, he's thinking about this. Instead of being chastised and being put to death by the authorities and rulers, I'm just going to end my life. So the soldier pulls out a knife, a sword, he's about to kill himself. He's about to commit suicide. He's about to commit a terrible sin, suicide. Now Paul being a Roman citizen, now, we don't know if Paul saw him or he was aware of what he was doing. But Paul says, do no harm to yourself. We are all here. Do no harm to yourself. We are all here. I'd like to make a comment on this. My friends, we should not only practice virtue, but all of us should try as much as we possibly can to prevent others from falling into sin. The other day I was talking with a couple that had marriage problems, and they're saying that they're 18-year-old daughter was thinking about leaving the house and starting to live with her boyfriend. And they told both the father and mother, try to prevent your daughter from making that decision. Because by getting up and living with her boyfriend, she's going to be living in sin. So I was trying to convince the mother and the father to do all they possibly could to prevent their daughter from making that wrong decision, not only to live but sin, but to live in the state of sin. Of course, as priests, we have these golden opportunities on a daily basis. But you might know someone in the same situation that is about to opt to commit a sin. Do all you possibly can to prevent that person from doing that sin. Maybe sit down calmly with that person and use both faith and reason. Point out all the negative consequences. You know, my friends, the devil presents a sin as something attractive, appealing, pleasurable, but really the net result of sin is sadness, confusion, pain, bitterness, and worse yet, if we die in the state of mortal sin, then we could lose our soul for all eternity. So Saint Paul cries out, do no harm to yourself, because we're all here. We're all here. So Saint Paul prevented this man from committing suicide. We're going to see how Paul turns this tragedy into a great victory. It's incredible how God is using St. Paul to carry out incredible blessings. How God is using St. Paul to carry out incredible blessings. So some of you are saying by word of mouth that you're trying to prevent people maybe from committing sin. Well, if you've done that, then we have to pray and offer up sacrifices for them. So as a result of Paul's words, do no harm to yourself, we're all here, the guard asked for a light. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. So he falls to his knees before Paul and Silas. And then he asked Paul and Silas one of the most important questions. One of the most important questions that anyone in the world can pose is, what then shall I do to be saved? Very important question. So, I think all of you are touched by this biblical passage, that we all have people in our lives that are in the breach. Maybe they're on the brink. Maybe they're on the precipice. Maybe they're about to fall into the pit. Now, like what you're saying, many of you are saying, we got to pray the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do, and offer our penance. But an opportune word could be essential, because Paul was praying with Silas, but then he opened up his mouth and he said, do no harm to yourself. So those words of St. Paul and Silas were also essential. They're essential for the salvation of this Roman guard. And he asked that question. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And then Paul and Silas, they say, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you and your household will be saved. My friends, salvation comes about only through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to highlight that. I repeat, salvation comes only through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One occasion, Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen commented on the names of Jesus. And he said the most important name for Jesus is the name Jesus himself, which means Savior. Means Savior. The name Jesus means God saves. No more important name in the whole world than Jesus. Jesus, the primary purpose for the incarnation, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's called the incarnation in the Paschal mystery, is that he came to save our souls for all eternity. He came to save our souls for all eternity. So this man and his whole household will be baptized. It's interesting that Paul not only wants to baptize this man, but he wants his whole household to be baptized and be saved. Might even call this the domino effect. That's right, we might even call this the domino effect of our spiritual life. So, my friends, We've had a wonderful, wonderful conversation today in our Perseverance family. And my name is Father Ed Broom. I'm an Oblate of the Virgin Mary, OMV. And invite you all to be a missionary and to send our conversation to all your friends. Who knows, maybe by listening to one of our conversations, one of your relatives or friends or contacts will listen and open up their hearts to God, as did this Roman jailer. So I'd like to bless all of you. And let's pray for each other. And let's pray for that person in our lives who God wants us to bring closer to salvation. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.